Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains mentions of giant ocean monsters and the fear of the ocean. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You row a boat. Nope, I've already messed up. Killian, picture this. Your rowboat got stuck in a strong current, and you try as you might, you just can't get yourself out of it. With the sun starting to sink beneath the horizon, you realize how fast you're moving away from land. You're alone and start to get worried. Then you look into the water and see that you're moving so fast that a school of fish beneath you is desperately trying to fight against the current, but they're failing. Suddenly, there's a roar of water behind you. Turning into the sea mist, you see a giant mouth rise from the water, eating the ocean, your rowboat sailing right towards it. Killian, do you know what this creature is? What is this creature? I've said the wrong thing. Killian, what is this creature? Don't look.
Let's see.
Don't cheat.
The Kraken?
That was a good, solid guess, but no. It's the Sea Eater.
Wow.
I know. Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. All right, so Killian, as always, first things first, we have to thank our friend Blade for introducing us.
Cool name.
Very cool name.
Very cool.
Introducing us, and I mean that, to the Sea Eater, because Killian, I have never heard of the Sea Eater. Have you ever heard of the Sea Eater?
No, but Daddy has.
Well, now he has, because I don't think he's heard of it before this.
Yeah.
So, the Sea Eater... Can you sit still for 4 seconds?
Okay, sorry. I was
Get yourself comfortable.
Okay, I'm sorry. Do not cut that out.
The Sea Eater is a colossal fan-made aquatic entity within the Trevor Henderson fandom. Do you remember who Trevor Henderson is? Oh, that's who he is. Okay. Do you remember who Trevor Henderson is? I was like, I don't know who that is. I do now.
The guy that helped Bigfoot.
No, what? No.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Harry and the Hendersons. Hilarious. No. He created another, creepypasta-esque thing that we've talked about before they've done an episode on.
Which one?
That's what I'm asking if you remember.
No. Oh, wait. He made...
Siren? Yes.
Siren Head.
There you go. Siren Head. Trevor Henderson has created his own world of creatures that he breaks down into 3 universes. The world of giants, a reality where massive, colossal titans are commonplace. The entity world, the primary setting for most of Henderson's creations, where monsters, ghosts, and interdimensional beings hide from the general public. And the third universe, a mysterious, unexplored, and unexplained realm. Which do you think the Sea Eater falls into? Out of those 3, which one do you think?
The unknown one.
You think the colossal thing?
No, wait, the first one.
Ah, there we go. the giant one, for sure. The world of giants. So, Trevor Henderson did not create the Sea Eater... Like all good internet myths, legends, and creepypastas, creative people have added their own monsters to the universe. And that's what happened with the Sea Eater. It was created by a user called Q QM Blue on Reddit.
Say that again?
QM Blue. So that user is who created it, but they created it to be part of his universe. So it's like one of those, it's like a collaborative effort, which is great when that happens. When creative people create collaboratively, it's very cool when that kind of thing happens. All right, so let's talk about our giant creature. The Sea Eater is characterized as an eyeless, mountain-sized creature with permanently opened 32,000-foot mouth.
Just like the larva thing. What was it called?
Oh, the worm from the yes.
Yeah, the worm just to, it had a giant mouth just
Teeth. Do you know how many miles 32,000 feet is? Do you have any idea?
About a million of Daddy's 5Ks.
Okay. The thing's mouth is 6 miles six miles wide and is nearly 25 miles long. It boasts an immense webbed arms made of debris like from ships. From the ships it's like destroyed. And the bones of other giants it's defeated in combat.
Ooh. Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Its arms are nearly 3 miles long, allowing it to move at an incredible speed. It resides in the deepest parts of the... Let me read this and then I'll explain. I'll read it. It resides in the deepest parts of the ocean, consuming ships, islands, and sea life that happened to cross his path. This is why mommy is afraid of the ocean. Because the ocean is so deep, Killian, and it's so vast, and we have no idea what's living in it. Because we haven't...
And yet you do a cryptid podcast that covers it all.
Listen. We have no idea what's in the ocean, Killian.
Okay.
This is why mommy's scared of the ocean. I'll get in the ocean. You know that. I get in the ocean.
You get in the ocean, you just don't go very far.
I just don't like the idea that... I don't like when I can't see my feet.
When I can't see my feet.
Because you can't see the bottom. And that's bothersome. No, but when you can't see the bottom... Because how do you know, Killian, that it's so deep... that there are parts of the ocean that we as human beings still haven't discovered. And the fact that some people are like, I'm not saying that this creature exists, because that's very large. I'm just saying that people who are like, giant squids can't exist and things like that are crazy, because there are whole miles and miles and miles, hundreds of miles of ocean we haven't explored.
And also spiders like, 32, like, there are spiders in Australia that are, like, 32.
What does this have to do with anything? Anyway.
We were saying, like,
huge. There are just so many vast amounts of the ocean that are undiscovered. And who's to say that giant squids aren't just down there and we just don't know about it? Or
hybrids.
Or mermaids. How would we know?
That's what I said, hybrids. I love hybrids.
I'm just saying. People should have a healthy fear of the ocean.
I'm a little scared about it, but
And there's just so much sand at the beach, and I just don't like it.
The only thing I don't care about the beach is that it gets sand in my pants, and I feel
you seem very
for 2 days.
You seem very unbothered by that when we're there.
What?
The sand.
No, it getting in my pants.
You seem very unbothered, but anyway. All right. I'm very distressed by this topic. The Sea Eater never stops moving. It's constantly devouring eternally.
So it eats in its sleep. Cool.
What?
It eats in its sleep.
That is not... I guess that would be what it means. You're right. Because if it never stops moving, constantly devouring, that would mean I guess it wouldn't sleep. That's a fair point. Old stories from sailors talk about how the Sea Eater looks like a moving mountain, and it's so big that they are mesmerized by its size. Now, there isn't a whole lot written about how the beast can die. Only one thing hurts it. Do you know what it is? I sure want to know.
Water.
Why would water hurt it? I need you to use your brain.
No,
why would water hurt it?
It's a joke.
Oh.
Jeez. Just jumping out there and saying, water will kill the sea monster.
If it gets close to the shore, it starts to disintegrate and has to immediately turn and crawl back into the ocean, or it will wither away. So that's why I stay on the shore and read my book under the umbrella.
Like people who might, like the people, you actually read that last, people we met on vacation, that's what you read last time.
I did read that. How do you remember that? I don't think that's what I read last time, but I did read that one of the times we went to the beach.
Yes, it was the last time, though.
Your memory is insane.
The last time we went to Savannah.
That's not the last time we went to the beach, though.
Oh, yeah.
Your memory is insane.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, some sightings include the 1862 incident. Wow. This is the oldest recorded encounter. The creature surfaced near a coastline in China, triggering a tsunami. Oh, no, not a tsunami, multiple tsunamis, with waves reaching...
Isn't one, multiple tsunamis just one big tsunami?
No, I think they're saying it's like multiple, like...
Oh, like a bunch of big waves.
Mm-hmm. Reaching 400 feet tall.
Oh, my...
The resulting flooding was so severe that the surrounding shore remained underwater for 60 years.
Wow.
Then there was another sighting in 1923. Evelyn Mary. On this beach in 1923, Mary spotted a blue supermountain moving at high speeds. As it approached the shore, it began to melt or crumble, dropping house-sized chunks of its body before retreating into the deep and causing a devastating tidal wave that destroyed an entire town. Yeah. Now, something big, you'd think scientists or the government would have some way of tracking it, right?
They don't.
Well, they do. Bum, bum, bum. The expanded Trevor Henderson lore... In that universe, the Global Defense Force, or the GDF, is the primary military and scientific organization tasked with monitoring and managing the colossal class entities, like the Sea Eater. So, like, in his universe, that's their version of, like, the government tracking group that's looking for these giant monsters.
They can track a killer whale, too. That's awesome.
I don't think that that's what they care about in this universe. Yeah. I think when they're worried about...
No, in real life.
This is in this universe. These don't... This government entity doesn't exist in real life.
Oh, me? Imagine if it did.
The GDF does not seek to destroy the Sea Eater, though. Given its size, that is considered impossible. But it focuses on containment and redirection. What does containment and redirection mean?
Like, holding something hostage or something like that?
Holding something hostage, yeah. What is redirection, then?
When a crossing guard tells you to go left.
Instead of?
Right.
Okay, there you go. So, what is the... So, if that's the case, what is the GDF trying to do?
Redirect the Sea Eater.
So it's trying to keep the Sea Eater away from
the towns.
From ships and people and towns and cities and what have you. So they do that by satellite luring. The GDF uses specialized satellite ships that emit a high-frequency pulse directed at the creature's skin. This stimulates the Sea Eater's sensory organs, creating an unpleasant sensation. Similar to extreme tickling or irritation that forces...
What's irritation?
Irritation.
Oh, irritation.
Mm-hmm.
Is it irritation?
Irritation. That forces it to move away from the sensitive coastal areas and back to the abyssal depths. So the GDF had something called the New York incident. One of the GDF's most significant successes occurred when they detected the Sea Eater approaching the New York coastline. Imagine how devastating that would be if a giant, colossal sea creature came to a big city like New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be bad. So, to prevent a catastrophic flood caused by water displacement, they mobilized thousands of teams to successfully lure the beast into the deep Atlantic using these pulse methods. Another thing they do is called sonar monitoring. The GDF maintains a global network of hydrophones to track the sea eater's unique sonar signature. They are responsible for classified data regarding the bloop sound when they have officially, in lore, linked, they've linked that to this creature's movements, which is pretty cool, right?
Bloop, bloop,
bloop. Yeah. So are you ready for a creepypasta style story?
Yes, please.
Okay. This one is called Fixing Node 7. The water wasn't just cold. It was heavy. At 400 feet down, the pressure of the Atlantic feels like the ocean is trying to squeeze the air right out of your bones. My name is Elena, and I'm a junior technician for the Global Defense Force, the GDF. My job is usually boring, calibrating sensors and staring at green lines on a screen. But today, Node 7 went dark. Node 7 sits right on the edge of the Puerto Rico Trench, the deepest, darkest scar on the planet. And according to the GDF's high-frequency tracking, something massive was moving our way now. Elena, do you copy? You're drifting close to the shelf. Marcus's voice crackled on my headset. He was safe topside on the GDF Aurora, piloting the heavy lift recovery drone. I see the monitor, Marcus. Just give me 2 minutes. My breath fogging my visor. My headlamps cut through the murk, illuminating the titanium sonar pod. It was mangled, not rusted, not broken, completely crushed. Like something had stepped on it. Then the sound hit me. It wasn't a sound you hear with your ears. It was the type of sound you feel in your teeth. A low, rhythmic thrumming. The sand on the seafloor began to dance, kicked up like a storm. Elena, get out of there, Marcus yelled, his voice suddenly sharp with static. The sonar signature just spiked. It's right on top of you. I don't see anything, I spun around, my light beam sweeping the endless black. The radar says it's 5 miles long, Marcus. How can I not see it? I stopped. The cliff in front of me wasn't made of stone. It was blue, a deep, sickly, bruised blue. I looked up and up and up. It wasn't a wall. It was a limb, a massive tube-like arm, thick as a skyscraper and
covered his arms.
Were you not listening earlier?
I was listening.
Arms made of ships and bones.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a wall. It was a limb. A massive, tube-like arm, thick as a skyscraper and covered in the jagged white remains of crushed ships and bleached whale bones. The sea eater wasn't swimming. It was crawling. The current suddenly shifted, pulling me towards a dark void that opened up in the water like a doorway into space. It was the mouth. It was an endless tunnel of darkness rimmed with nothing but raw, pulsating muscle. There were no teeth because it didn't need them. It just pulled the world in. The suction was instant. I kicked my thrusters, but I wasn't a mosquito in... But I was like a mosquito in a hurricane. I was being dragged straight into that giant, hungry throat. Marcus, I screamed. I'm coming. Look for the yellow strobes. Through the silt and bubbles, a pair of high-intensity LEDs flickered. The GDF's heavy lift drone, a machine the size of a van, slammed through the water, its rotor screaming. Jump, Elena! The sea eater's mouth was feet away. I could see the internal ridges of its throat glowing with a faint bioluminescent rot. I unclipped my safety tether and launched myself, my fingers clawing at the drone's cold metal frame. My gloves slipped, then locked onto the recovery handle. The drone's engines roared into overdrive just as the sea eater's mouth snapped shut, swallowing the sonar monitor and millions of gallons of seawater in a single gulp. The drone jerked me upward, the force nearly dislocating my shoulders, but we were rising to the surface. As we broke, and the drone carried me back to the Aurora, I looked down. For one second, the water cleared. I saw the creature's back, a 25-mile stretch of living mountain, shimmering just beneath the waves. It didn't even know I existed. To the sea eater, I wasn't even a snack. I was just a speck of dust. I think I'm going to ask for a desk job tomorrow. The end.
Whoa.
So what did you think of the sea eater?
I loved it.
Yeah? You liked the sea eater?
I did.
Does it make you want to dive to the bottom of the ocean?
No.
Oy, oy, oy.
What?
I'm just one more thing to be scared of. Would you like to meet the sea eater?
Yes, if it was friendly, but it's not, so no.
Well.
He's not a friendly guy.
I don't know. It just seems like it can't help but eat things.
Yeah. I'd like to meet Tweez before I meet the sea eater.
Meet who?
Tweez.
Trees?
Trees.
Trees? Just like trees outside?
No.
What are you talking about?
The monster trees.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, never mind. I wandered off.
Okay. Thank you again to our friend Blade for suggesting the sea eater. That was very exciting.
Yeah, Blade.
You know what? No, thank you, Blade. I don't like the ocean.
Whoa, no, we never say that.
No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Blade, because I've never heard of the sea eater. And thank you, Blade, for scaring the
daylights out of her.
The daylights out of me. Give me one more reason to not want to go to the beach, Blade. So when the family wants to go to the beach and I tell them no.
We're going to, what is it?
They'll have you to thank, Blade.
Yeah, wait, where are we going? The history place.
What? Oh, no.
We'll be going to
Williamsburg.
Williamsburg.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, anyway. Do you have a cryptid or monster or a creepypasta or...
Haunted house? Or haunted object? Haunted museum?
You would like us to cover. Make sure you politely ask your grown-up very nicely to message us. And tell us the name of the thing you would like us to cover. And we will eventually get to it one day when we get to it on our list.
And ask nicely.
And ask nicely and be patient. Because sometimes they are busy.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not business hours. And right?
Yeah, it's over 7.
Your business hours get earlier and earlier.
Because it's still 7.
All right. Well, thank you again to Blade.
Thank you, Blade.
And thank you to everybody for listening. I think that's all we got to say, right?
Yeah. Wait.
Thank you for listening. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog. Until next time, remember,
the cryptids are watching.
Wonderful. Love it.
Love you.
Love you.